What an incredible reading. It's really wonderful to be a part of this group. And I thank you, Taylor and White Whale and Joan and Chris and everybody who's been a part of making such a special time here. So I'll just jump in. I have four poems to share. This first one is called Xanthos. These were our immortal horses, five wild cream-colored mustangs let loose in the dirt rink. The point of the West is mastery, the rivers dammed for arid cities, the sheer open, unending ocean's expanse for a rodeo's small prairie. They were captured in high desert, the show for cowboys to rope them. Manes flared in the burly rush, lariats whipped out, but one horse, a god, rearing and kicking, still ran free when the others were taken. So another cowboy threw in, the two ropes sprung taut, cinched its neck, and the Mustang flailed, arced up and out, and was pulled down hard. People gasped and stood. A fervid quake rippled its coat sheen from withers to flank and stifle. It lay, and my grandfather looked on me, a helpless, sorry softness in his eyes. We saw the cowboys dismount. For a long time, they stood around its radiant figure, its neck broken. A canvas tarp was unfurled, and the dust, his eyes never like that as it was tucked under the horse. We heard a tractor engine turn over, a wide gate as it was walked open, screeched, and the horse he and I never spoke about was dragged out. The second poem is another Central Arizona poem. It's called The Names. From Heber Overgard, the drive turned quiet as we passed the small firs. The meadow had been reached by two fires one June, and I was turning over the names Rodeo and Chedisky, the first two ranges burnt. The Mogollon calls to mind a prior and current people. Their markings are a riddle to me, though I want to read for hours, listen for silent departures. I broke in. What are you thinking? I'm trying to remember, she said, who you walked to school with. Repeating the names after me, she recognized each one, a gentle surprise as if the faces restored us momentarily to some lost portion of ourselves, like the emerald hummingbird when we were out walking. It flashed in front of her face, her lips always so like a flower, that vibrant tone of red I used to watch her put on as she leaned close to the mirror. It left instantly as our time, all our time together, driving. Out on the forest road, no one in sight. The ponderosas tall where nothing had burnt. The sky a vast cerulean dome. The road itself an enclave like the name Heber, to join, to bind, for those who go. Overgard signals the farmstead, the upper pasture. Here is my dual-heartedness. I turn to stay, or try to stay with her on home ground, but cross it like fire consumes, like wind defines all our reunions, that unbroken rivering we hear 100 feet up. And this next poem is called Unavoidably Fugitive. And it's a Pittsburgh poem about a nearby park. Hang on, I need a drink. I want a map that's hummed and meanders. Who knows where we'll go, Emily, a piece of bread in hand. No bed to sleep in like the fabled girl, but out, walking. Being given the thin linen of starlight for a broken open heart if starlight falls on us. Here, a hillside called Linden Grove, where there are no lindens to find, I've turned off the location of my device. We may shed all hems and caches. The star field of dream may be revealed, like people walking out of mist, emerge first as dark, slender, solitary trees. A composer said she hears cross the field something eerie, the scritchy strings of brittle winter weeds. Let the signs we leave behind be unavoidably fugitive. I want to orient in the unretraceable present, leaf rag, grass that squelches at having to carry a body across, a map that's breathed and dissolves on cold air, new every moment, marked by chirps, whistles, rustles, wing beats, by acorn falls and deer too late. Hyreth, the Welsh say, for a place we haven't been and long to return to, where a tree might be given a name, Chris Emmons' oak, the one coming up this very hill he sat to rest by and died at 24, on a Saturday in late August, and maybe felt again where dusk already tucks in. Wandering into a patch of wild mint, given nothing more than vibrant alert, an unfinished nature, a sweet aroma lifts as he goes. I just want to say again, before I read this last one, what a pleasure it is to be here. I'm grateful to all the readers and all the wonderful poems I've heard. This poem is called Windfall. The splotchy, rumpled ground beneath the bird feeder stays chestnut and fallow. Leaf debris uncovered during the snowfall, where seeds drop, an abundance, where squirrels find shells, kernels still intact within the circle, as I hope this midwinter turns out to be for you, one defined by the whistly tremolo of mourning doves, escaping some urgent call for lower branches, and not the pulse of a monitor marking your time, and not at your bedside, a colorless fluid as it issues into a vein. So let us keep this place open. I love the grass that bristles the bed of snow around the scatter. In a little while, it too will be covered as evening comes on. I love the gentle swing of the feeder with its crew of chickadees, and beneath, the bare laden patch, visited while the light was good, as if tending to this time of risk keeps the circle intact. I see you standing where the seed falls.